This year I'm going to begin by saying something I've never said before. That is that Sister Nancy and I are very glad to be able to be here with you. And we're enjoying the convention and your fellowship very much. We both appreciate your good wishes. And pray that the Lord's blessing be upon each of you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. The letter lesson this afternoon is one that's found in the epistle of 1 John. This epistle is rather a family letter that's written by John from the Heavenly Father. And it's written to his little children. It's one of the most intimate of John's writings in that it seems to be a true family matter, family letter. And the word for children in the Greek has the thought of born ones. The Apostle Paul was occupied with the brethren as sons of God. But John, in his nearness to the Father, says we are those who are born ones, children of God. And so to begin this letter, he tells us that that which was from the beginning and which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And that fellowship had been mentioned earlier, is one of a communion, one with another, and one with the Heavenly Father and His Son. For He goes on to say, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then dropping to the second chapter, He says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. You know, as children, we all have to be admonished at times. Some have to have a few strikes once in a while. But this is telling us that we sin not. But if we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And then, dropping to the 28th verse of this chapter, He says, my little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His parousia. At His coming. John, in writing to the church of his day and to us, is giving us an admonition and a warning against a lack of faith and how important faith is in all of our lives. Our lives are a matter of faith. We live by faith. Faith is the basis of things that we hope for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of the invisible. And what is the invisible? Right now, it's really the kingdom of God, isn't it? But we live by faith, knowing that the kingdom is soon to be established in the earth. We live by faith, knowing that eventually all mankind will receive the blessings of that kingdom and come to a knowledge of the Lord. And in the 18th verse, he says, referring to the present time and to then, "My little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come," we all recognize who Antichrist is, a great nominal system. But he says, "Even now are there many Antichrists." Not only one Antichrist mentioned in the scripture, there are many Antichrists. Those who are false teachers. Whereby we know that it is the last time. I think we can all realize that there are many false teachers in these last days. And as we think of them, we hear of some that have been influenced by some false teachers. And what does John say? They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. That's a sad condition, isn't it, brethren? To leave the family of God after having been receiving of the Holy Spirit. Hopefully that they had not been begotten of the Holy Spirit and then leave, because we realize that if they deny the faith, deny the Lord, there's no more sacrifice for sin. But how it is, how it's wonderful that we cannot judge. It's the Lord who is the judge. Not for us to say. But then John goes on to say in this 21st verse, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth." You do know it. "But because you know it, and that no lie or no falsehood is of the truth." And then in the 24th verse, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." What a wonderful promise that is. Abiding in him, we will continue in the Son and in the Father. And to those who do abide, John reminds us of this wonderful promise in the 25th verse. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Now, we've mentioned this little thing before, too, eternal life. The world will have eternal life when they eat of the bread of life. As Brother Larry just mentioned, we just have had the memorial service. Remember what John tells us in that 6th chapter, "If any man eat of the bread from heaven, he shall live forever." He will have eternal life. Remember what the Diglot tells us on that, to have that eternal life of eating just only the bread, you live into the age. You live into the kingdom. And the world will have that opportunity because they have partaken of the bread of life. They will have the opportunity of living into the kingdom and walking up that highway of holiness. And walking up the highway, they're going to learn the truth. Yeah, the law will be put in their hearts and their minds. Justice will be laid to the line and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail, those hard truths, maybe hard truths then, not so hard for us. We can understand a lot of these. They're the mysteries, simple mysteries, aren't they? mysteries are simple if you have been begotten of the Holy Spirit, because it has been revealed to us. Mysteries to the world, simple truths to us. Yes? But the world will live into the age. But John is saying here, and this is the promise he has promised you and me and those who have been found faithful even unto death. He says you will have eternal life. John, the sixth chapter, he says you'll have eternal life too. But you not only have to eat the bread, you have to drink the cup. And eating the bread and drinking the cup, you'll have life within yourselves. That word eternal, look it up in the Strong's, and it has the thought of perpetual. Life within itself. And what is that like? Immortality. And this is the promise that he has promised you, even immortality. Too much for us to really comprehend. John tells us in his epistle, in the 15th chapter of John, that we abide in him. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In the 4th verse, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye abide in me. Yes? And why is it that we bear fruit? Is it because we're so smart of ourselves? It's because we abide in him. Receiving of the Holy Spirit as a result of coming into this wonderful body of Christ. And we're of the body of Christ. He is the head, the church is his body. Abiding in him. One of us can't say, I have no need of you. You can't say you have no need of me. We all have need one of another, and we all need to abide under the head, in him, in the anointed one. And so as we abide in him, he goes on to say in the second verse, third verse, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What a wonderful thing that is, that we have been made clean. And how have we been made clean? It's by the blood of Christ, who has been our corresponding price, and as Brother Larry mentioned, has been our great offering for sin. And so, we have come into this relationship with the Heavenly Father, and we remain. That word remain also means to continue in him. We don't just do it today or tomorrow, but we continue our entire Christian experience. Remember what the Lord told the disciples, if any man be my disciple, take up your cross. That's all you have to do. Follow me. And he did it for how many years? Did it for 3.5 years he took up that cross, didn't he? You're going to follow him. I'm going to follow him. All of our Christian experiences, be thou faithful until you end your course. On your cross. Cross might not be literally beheaded, but until, be thou faithful until death. And then I'll give you this eternal life, this everlasting immortal life. John exhorts us again in Revelation through the words of the risen Lord to be faithful. But he also says, Hold fast, and let no man take thy crown. In these last days, there are many false antichrists. Some might want to thwart you from obtaining that crown. But let no one take thy crown. On another occasion, the Apostle Paul, when encouraging the brethren to abide and be steadfast in him, says in Hebrews, the third chapter, he says that we are to have confidence or assurance, we're not going to read the text, 3:1, in full fulfillment of the promises and signs of his presence. He says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 36th verse, for ye have need of patience, patient endurance it is, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and then he quotes a familiar prophecy, I think you all remember it, you've seen it on the bottom of the chart. Remember what that is? For yet a little while, and he that will come, shall come, will come, and will not tarry. Yes, the Lord will not tarry. And in these words, the apostle indicates that it's only going to be a little while. Sometimes we think it's a long time. With the aches and the pains some of us have, some of the difficult experiences and trials seem like a long time. But just think how short a time it is. Remember what Paul says, it's but a short time. Yes, Romans the 8th chapter. It's just but for a moment. As we look to the ages of eternity, of glory, trial of our faith, but for a moment. Remember, Peter says that the day with the Lord, as it were, is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. But Isaiah tells us in 26:20, the time that we're living is as but for a little moment. The Apostle Paul's writings, and especially good for us who are living at this end of the age, and even as he was writing to the brethren then, we can say that he's writing to us today. And in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, he tells us, in the last days, perilous times shall come. We are living in perilous times. Satan is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is your adversary, the devil. Satan is all of our adversaries. He's just as much our adversary today as he was back there when he tested the Lord right after his immersion. Satan's not bound, brethren. He would like to have us think he's bound or being bound. But Satan is your adversary, he's all of our adversaries, seeking whom he may devour. And how is he going to devour? Through many of these false antichrists, perhaps. Of your own selves shall men arise to draw away disciples after them. But Paul goes on to say in the 6th chapter, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in this evil day. And what was that armor? You all remember the picture. 6th chapter of Ephesians. 5th chapter. 6th. sixth, fifth, whichever. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and all these other parts of the armor. Put them on that ye might be able to withstand in this evil day. To the Corinthians he says, because it's the fire of that day shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Yes, our works are going to be tried also. And since we see that this is so, that these words of the Spirit that are given to us, who are living in these last days, we should give more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we let them slip, lest we fail to make our calling and election sure. And as in every other case in which we're instructed concerning these days in which we live, there's intimation that it's going to be a time of special trial. Hebrews 10:38. He says, now the just shall live by faith. And who are the just? It's those who have come into this covenant relationship with God. Those who have had the blood sprinkled on their behalf on the mercy seat. Remember what that blood did? It gives them justification. Made them just. Made them right. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the anointed, in Christ Jesus, because the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. We have been made just. And so the apostle is saying, the just shall live by faith. Again, that little word, faith. We seem to take it so much for granted at times. But, here's a little word, but. He reverses the thought. You're going to live by faith, but. He says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And whose soul is that? It's God's soul. And this is the only text in the Scripture that we have that shows that God has a soul, or is a soul. Has a soul, that's... Is that right? At least it's kept me awake now. So as we look back on our Christian road, we can see that from time to time that we've believed our appreciation and confidence in the Lord and His Word has grown day by day. That's why the prophet says that the path of the just again, those who are in harmony with the Heavenly Father, the path of the just is as a shining light. And so so our light should grow brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. We're never all going to have all the truth. That's why we have to continue to study, to show ourselves approved unto Him, workmen that need us not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so as we rightly divide, the truth doesn't change, but our appreciation of it, understanding, grows brighter and brighter. We might have to change. Nothing wrong with that. So long as it's harmony with the Heavenly Father's will for us, so long as it's in harmony with His plans and His purposes, so long as it's harmony with His wonderful character. But if it isn't in harmony with those three things, we cannot change. But so, the truth does grow brighter. And as we grow both in grace and knowledge of the truth, it's because we recognize the signs of His presence. What is it that has drawn us together at this end of the age? It's because the Lord has returned. It's because He's revealed these secrets to those who are in covenant relationship with Him. Yes, we've come into this period of time, a lot of dark ages, remember, when the truth was suppressed, hidden, in the old creeds, theories, traditions. But the truth has been revealed in these last days because of the light of His presence. Now we should appreciate that more and more. And so our confidence grows stronger in the same Lord who's supplied the light from His Word. And abiding in Him, we learn to appreciate His overruling providences in our lives. We appreciate more the divine plan as we see it being unfolded in earth affairs. We can see that happening every day, can't we? We're getting closer and closer to the kingdom. Not only do we see that in earth affairs, let's look about us today. How many of us are going to be here in the next 10, 20 years? Classes are getting smaller all over the country, all over the world. Oh, there's a few we know that we've never heard of before. Romania, Poland. I don't know what their ages are, I know there is. But the church is becoming smaller and smaller day by day. And we're glad for that. Because every time we pray, Thy kingdom come. You're praying to die, aren't you? And until the church is gone, kingdom can't come. The whole world groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What a wonderful thing. So abiding in Him, Paul tells us that our Lord, who is our high priest over our house, we are to draw near, abiding in Him. Hebrews 10:21, he says, let us, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Yes, and that may be a difficult thing to do as some experiences come along in our lives. May be difficult. But we know that these experiences that do come, we know, because we have faith to believe, that all things are working together for good. To those who love the Lord, to those who are what? The called, according to His purpose. You know, we often quote that text, we all love the Lord to those that are called according to His purpose. Are you one of the called? Add that little the in there. Don't forget it. To those who are the called. So, we believe that He has promised these wonderful things to us. And He says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That word provoke, of course, sometimes we can get provoked pretty much at our brethren. But the word really means to incite. Incite our brethren to love and to good work. Do good unto all men as we have opportunity. You know, we could do good to a lot of people. we could all pool our funds and feed the world tomorrow, be hungry yet day after tomorrow, wouldn't they? But especially under the household of faith. We may not be want to be a Samaritan, but we can be a good Samaritan at times to our brethren. But then there's something that's just as equally important as that. Remember what it is? Not forsaking of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Back there, they must have separated because of differences of opinions or whatever. Remember, Paul said that they didn't believe, and some of them left because they didn't like what we were saying. They left because they were not of us. And so it's an exhortation to us to hold together as a body, as a family, communion one with the other, partaking of the bread, partaking of the cup, that cup of the New Testament, that cup of the New Covenant. And as we partake of that cup, we share with him in the ratifying of the New Covenant, which will, in effect, in the next age, be for the blessing of all the families of the earth. What a wonderful time that will be. They'll no longer say that the fathers have eaten the sour grape and the children of Caesar sat on it, but then they're going to rejoice and be glad because they've heard the truth. But if they do, they're going to be cut off from among the people. And so it is that we want to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together in convention, in our weeknight meetings, whether they be one or two. Remember, there's a text that was quoted where one or two are met together in my name, there I will be also. Remember, the Lord is there too. And he's there to bless. And so he blesses us with the Holy Spirit, enlightening our minds. But we have to do something ourselves. We have to fill our minds with this. Search the Scriptures daily to prove whether these things be so. And as we do, we study to show ourselves approved unto him. And as we draw an eye unto God, James said he will draw an eye unto us. And where do we draw an eye? Of course, we draw into the heavenly. The tabernacle has been mentioned. Remember how we draw into the holy condition? Yes. There we dwell where this light of this golden candlestick is. It enlightens our minds. And remember what makes the golden candlestick to burn? It's the oil. The Holy Spirit that's put within this lampstand. And in the holy, where does the light come from? Outside source? There's no outside source whatsoever. It's only from the burning of that oil of the Holy Spirit that enlightens our minds. And as we do draw into this Spirit-begotten condition, holy of the tabernacle, we do that by faith. And in Romans, the 6th chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us in the 4th verse, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Yes, we're dead. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, he was raised up. He was dead, baptism, but he was raised up to walk how? In newness of life. So also we should walk in newness of life. If any man be in the anointed, in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, now all things have become new. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection with eternal life, immortality. And then Paul goes on to say, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We're freed, you know what that word freed means? Justified. Another word. He that is dead has been justified. He's come into this relationship with God in the harmony. There's therefore now no condemnation. You've been justified, made right with God. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We were going to stop here. These things are all too great for us to comprehend, to share in his glory, be part of that great prophet, priest, and king, that mediator, the seed of Abraham that's going to bless all the families of the earth. Imagine being there to be able to do that. But these promises are ours. They're given to us as those who have come into this justified condition. Listen to just a couple of these promises. I'm not going to read a lot of them. Blessed are those that have part in the first resurrection. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We shall also be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so now as we look back on our consecrated walk, see how the Lord has led us, don't we have every reason to have hope? Thank God, as Paul says, and take courage. And as we do, these truths that have been so freely given to us give every evidence of his presence with us. And surely the Master is serving us now with meat in due season. And let us continue to partake of these truths. And as the Apostle tells us in Hebrews again, the 10th chapter, 35th verse, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath a great recompense of reward. Cast not away. What do we still expect to do? We still must walk by faith. Faith and patience. And as we do, we must trust and have confidence in the holy word of the Lord. In closing now, we read again in 1 John, the second chapter, the 28th verse, and now, little children, abide in him. And in 3:19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. May the Lord continue to add his blessing, because we know that he that dwelleth in the secret place in the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Blessed and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thee so thankful for thy love, for the gift of thine only begotten Son on our behalf. We do thank thee for the fellowship of kindred minds, and for the privilege that we have of coming into fellowship with thee in consecration, and for the privilege that we have of laying down our lives to thee. We pray that as we endeavor to walk up this narrow way, that we may each one be found faithful, that we may encourage and assist our brethren to be faithful also, and that we may all, at the end of our course, see thee face to face. We pray now that thou will continue to bless the further sessions of this convention and guide and direct each one by thy Holy Spirit, and forgive us when we come so far short of doing thy holy will. We ask these favors, seek these blessings, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.